big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains April 24th through the 27th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell. With The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to another big Titans win against the Houston Texans. The Titans move to 5-0 on the season. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, just another glorious Monday morning. How is everyone today?
Doing very well. And Corey, I got to ask you, have you ever watched a coin toss with more anticipation than the one we saw in overtime there? I think everybody knew whoever won that coin toss was going to win the game, and you could see it on the face of Deshaun Watson. He knew at that point it was over.
His body language was worse than Eli Manning's, and I thought that was absolutely impossible. I mean, I asked Jeffrey Simmons about that after the game. I said, how big was that coin toss? You're not the only one thinking about food this morning. and Jeff was like, oh, man, that coin toss was big, because he knew. I mean, nobody was stopping really anybody at that point. And, you know, Romeo Crennel is catching a lot of heat right now for going for two, and maybe that's what he knew as well. Although, having said that, I would have gone for one.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, I guess the argument is you'd rather let your offense on one play that's crushing their defense win it than, you know, and then leave anything to your defense. But I agree, like, make the opponent score and score again.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of that coin toss, I just had a flashback, Corey, to Marty Morningway taking the wind in Chicago in Soldier Field, one of the great coin toss moments of all time. By the way, we may not have time to get into your Bears, but are they, like, I'm going to ask you, are the Bears, like, good? They're not good, right?
They're okay. I think, you know what they remind me of a little bit? Like the 2008 Titans minus Chris Johnson. Okay? They can play defense. They've got a good game manager at quarterback right now. They're not making a lot of mistakes to beat themselves, but they don't have that electric piece on offense that Titans team had. So, you know, they could be that, and listen, I'm a Bears fan, you guys know that. They could go 10-6, 11-5, 12-4, whatever it is, and be that team that just goes out in round one. Because I just don't see them having enough offensively to get there in an offensive era of football. Am I glad they're 5-1? Yeah. You know, that Carolina win looks a little bit better now than it would have, you know, a few weeks ago. But, you know, winning in this league is tough, so you take them all. But that doesn't mean they're a great team.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Chris Johnson, because I was trying to think about this, and I wasn't here then. I mean, I certainly watched the NFL and watched him play, and he was like you said, electric. But Derrick Henry right now, in your time here, has there been a player for this franchise that can match what he is as an absolute must-see attraction?
Yeah, Chris Johnson. I mean, when Chris Johnson was in his prime, those first, like, 3 years or so, Every time he touched the ball, you expected him to take it to the house. He was so much faster than everyone else on the field. And to see the ridiculous pursuit angles people took against him was unbelievable. And that's the thing about Derrick Henry, guys, is, you know, the national media, when they talk about him, they talk about this big bruising back, and he is big, but he's a game breaker. That's what he is. I mean, he is a big play player. I mean, he has incredible straight line speed. You know, if he's in a straight line, you're not going to catch him. You saw it yesterday on the 94-yard run. Number 50 was stride for stride with him, and then all of a sudden he is 5 yards in the rearview mirror. Justin Reed is a defensive back. He should catch him, and he could not. I mean, he is a game breaker. He's got electric speed, which is incredible for a man that size.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com. Corey, I'm of the opinion right now that Ryan Tannehill is playing MVP caliber football. Where do you think he belongs in terms of the discussion? And I realize it's very early for league MVP.
Well, look, I mean, to win MVP, you got to win, right? I mean, that's prerequisite number one. There's only three unbeaten teams right now. So I think, you know, he certainly belongs in that conversation with, you know, Russell Wilson. You know, you see what Big Ben means to this Pittsburgh team because how awful they were offensively last year and how they're doing this year. But, I think you'd have to put Tannehill's performance ahead of him. And then Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are always going to be in it. But, I mean, he's right in there with all of us. I think Field Yates posted his numbers through 15 weeks. And, I mean, look, I mean, Robbie, you're from here. We don't see this.
No.
Okay? We watch 17-15, okay? That's what we're used to. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, even in Steve McNair's MVP season, I think he threw like 24 touchdowns. And, you know, Ryan's got that in like 9 games. I mean, it's unbelievable. He is, as long as the Titans keep winning and he keeps playing like that, he's going to come down to the Final Four. There's no question about it.
Of course, he just lost a really important piece. I mean, probably the Titans' third best player. I think you could make the case in Taylor Lewan. We don't know yet the extent, but it doesn't look good, Corey, if it's a long-term thing for Lewan. How does that change things for this offense?
Well, I think it largely takes a receiver out of the pass route. Because, I you know, look, Simbri Low, you know, I think it was the second play. I saw J.J. Watt line up over him, and I went, oh, my gosh, he smells blood in the water. Here he comes. And he just ripped right by him and took down Tannehill for the sack and the fumble. And I thought that was, you know, one of the few mistakes by the coaching staff to leave him on the island there with Watt right off the bat. He did pretty well, you know, the rest of the way. But I think, you know, I think the rest of the way you've got to keep a man in on protection. Or at least, you know, help him with chip the rest of the way because, you know, you got to have number 17. You can't, for the sake of getting another receiver in the route, risk the health of your quarterback. So until, you know, Simbrilo is a guy that you know, hey, he's going to be able to handle it, you've got to help him along the way. There's just no question about it. And I know everybody's going to ask about Isaiah Wilson. Guys, I don't know if we're going to see Isaiah Wilson until 2021. That's one of the questions I want to ask Mike Vrabel today is, do you think he can help this football team this year? Because I have major, major doubts about that. He's missed too much time, and he was behind to begin with.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, Titans fans, I mean, they're feeling good. The team's 5-0, a dramatic win yesterday. But quite frankly, like this defense is just not good. It has not been good for the first 5 weeks. How do you go about fixing this defense if you're Mike Vrabel?
Well, I mean, it was decent against Buffalo, right? They only gave up 16 points. And how many did they give up in Denver? I mean, so, you know, they've kept some people out of the end zone. They gave up the big play yesterday, which is something that they haven't done this year. But Jeffrey Simmons put it best. You fix the defense by creating more discomfort for the quarterback. It doesn't matter who the quarterback pretty much is in this league. If you give them time back there, they're going to pick you apart. the receivers are too athletic. They're going to eventually get open, and they've just got to get there faster, more frequently. They got two sacks yesterday. Jeffrey Simmons got a really big sack late in the ball game, but they've got to get more pressure more frequently. And, you know, that means 58, 99, 44, 98. You know, they've all got to either find a way to get there, or they've got to blitz more often. I know they sent Vaccaro once, and he got in there and forced an incompletion on third down. They've got to figure out a way to make quarterbacks more uncomfortable. The last two games, the run defense has been better, and I know it's hard to see that after giving up 36 points, but they only gave up 92 yesterday, and I think it was 3.4 yards a carry, and I thought that that was a promising step forward for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Bills really tried to run it. And I still thought yesterday, Corey, I mean, they gave it like 92 yards, but there were a few moments where it's like you can't give up the 9-yarder there off tackle on second and 12, right, or whatever. But,
yeah,
I mean, it's a step forward from what we saw in Minnesota.
The Minnesota debacle. I mean, and the weeks leading up to that, the run defense wasn't very good either. That's why I say it's been better. It's not – I mean, look – when you let Jarrell Casey, you know, go, that's going to affect your run game. And so, I mean, and Austin Johnson. So they missed two big key components from their run-stopping, you know, defense from the last 4 years. And they're still trying to figure out that way, because you can like Jack Crawford and Isaiah Mack and Matt Dickerson all you want. They aren't Casey and Austin Johnson. They're just not.
So – potentially, well, I think, I don't know if it's this week, but it's going to be soon. Adoree' Jackson will be back. It would be very timely this week against this team coming in. How much of a difference does that make? Like you said, they got to get to the quarterback, make him uncomfortable. Jeffrey Simmons goes Aaron Donald on Watson yesterday, and that's a big moment, but it doesn't happen enough. But if you have a guy who can at least run with faster receivers in this league, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, it means you've got less chance of getting beat deep, you know, and that actually is one of the things that Christian Fulton does well is, you know, as we did our draft analysis of Christian Fulton, you know, I'm no expert draft person, but the one thing that I saw when I watched tape of him was his ability to turn his head and find the ball downfield. That's, you know, one area we've seen Malcolm Butler struggle at times. So he has been good at it, and you get Adoree's speed on the field. And that could certainly help you with the smaller, shiftier receivers as well. A guy like Will Fuller, you know, he would have been nice. But this matchup with Pittsburgh, you know, yes, I want to have Adoree' Jackson out there. This is not a great matchup for him because Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster are two big, strong dudes. Malcolm Butler has to be ready in this one. He's a bigger, thicker corner. He's got to be ready to play. He can't cover them both, unfortunately. Somebody's going to have to man up, because those are two really physical dudes.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you joining us.
All right, thanks. It's really hard to do this when the team's 5-0.
Yeah.
It's really the second time I've ever had to do this when the team's 5-0. But, you know, we're there.
The times, they are changing, my friend. Here we are. Titans are a fun team to watch.
How about that?
All right.
Thanks, Corey.
Yeah, that is a good point he brings up there about the matchup this weekend. Although, Juju Smith-Schuster right now.
Killing my fantasy.
Struggling
team.
A little bit, man.
What is going on with him?
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. What is going on with him? And then he comes out for 8 for 120
just
on Sunday.
Just blows it up.
He's capable.
When we come back, we'll continue to take your reaction to a big Titans win yesterday. They're 5-0, undefeated on the season. Give us your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fighting, being tuned into the situation, guys stepping up when they have to, taking advantage of the opportunities all throughout our team, and we'll continue to work and we'll continue to get better.
A king is born. Tannehill, going to go for it, to the end zone. It's caught, did he get down?
What an impressive performance by Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans.
What a win yesterday for Derrick Henry and the Titans. Henry runs all over them. Tannehill throws all over them. And the Titans win 42-36 in overtime against the Houston Texans. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your reaction to the Titans win. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Bo, who wants to weigh in on the Titans. Bo, go ahead. Thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something that just been in my mind this season. I think if you put our old Titans about 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago in the fourth, halfway through the fourth quarter in our game so far, we would be about 1-4. And I've been really impressed with Mike Vrabel and our, basically our, how we've turned our team around and our new team and how we've been able to grit out all these wins, especially coming down the line in the fourth quarter.
Hey, that's a great point. Thanks for the call, Bo. Appreciate it. I agree. Like, I mean, I think one of the things we talked about earlier in the show, Joe, it never felt to me like the Titans weren't going to win that game. I know it got hairy, but Ryan Tannehill to me is the difference. Like, that's what it is. Like, yeah, Derrick Henry's great, and he played awesome yesterday, but the difference to me with this team is I always feel like Tannehill is going to lead them back and get the job done, and we just haven't had that around here in a long time.
Yes. Now, so he said 4 or 5 years. So 5 years, you're going back to just a dreadful, awful rookie season for Mariota, right? And they were just one of the, you know, well, they were the worst team in football. They had the number one pick that John Robinson traded away. I think it started to change 4 years ago. In 2016, they actually had some wins like this. And I think of that win at Kansas City, which was incredible. And in 17, they were a very hard to watch team in a bunch of those 19-17 type of games. They also had several Mariota late drives to win games. So this isn't brand new. I think the difference is it's just a totally different level of offense and quarterback play throughout a game.
Yeah.
Of course, you wish right now you could go back and get that defense and pair it with this offense, and then what would you have? But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to take a choice, I got to think that most football fans would much rather win games 42-36 than 19-17, right?
It's 1,000%.
It's more fun. And again, I'm not saying Mariota was as good in the clutch as Tannehill. He did have a lot of those wins. But the thing is, it'd be after, like, what is going on all day? And then it's like, okay, then he makes
put together, like, two drives. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. But I do think maybe there's a little bit of something intangible in the last few years. Maybe it's Amy Adams Strunk and John Robinson and, you know, some guys in this team like Kevin Byard and veterans where they have a good – locker room and a sort of a winning culture. Even though I hate the word culture.
Culture.
I just used it. I know. I hate culture in sports and I just used it. Dang it.
Let's go to Twitter. I want to read a tweet by Roger Saffold, left guard for the Titans, and this doesn't sound great for Taylor Lewan. Roger Saffold's tweet says, "I want everyone to know I love my brother Taylor Lewan. It's like both of us are doing rehab. I won't let my brother do this alone. It's all love on this side, the best side. Hashtag run left." So we're kind of waiting to see what the news of the day is on Taylor Lewan. Jay Glazer reporting last night that the Titans fear it could be a torn ACL. It doesn't sound like Taylor Lewan's going to be back anytime soon for the Titans.
Yeah, now, of course, okay, that was 12 hours ago. So,
yes.
So they, you know, still an MRI for this morning. But, yeah, I mean, all signs don't look good. We should get results potentially before the show ends here. But they're going to have to come up with an answer over there. And Tyson Brailo, first of all, let's get his name right. He may be playing a lot of football for the Titans. I'll tell you this about him. Yeah, Corey Curtis brought it up. He got J.J. Watt was like, I'm going to go over here.
Yeah, you could see.
First of all, there was a rare, it was a all-around great offensive day for the Titans coaching on down. That was one of those, like, got to give him help. But I will say on some of those running plays, he looked awfully good. You know, he had some key blocks in the fourth quarter on some of those running plays, including, of course, the game winner. Wildcat from the 5, third down. Just give it to Henry and go. Put Tannehill out wide. Amazing.
No need Tannehill for this situation here. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I told my wife as soon as Tennessee won the coin toss, the game was over. Houston's defense is trash and can't stop a nosebleed. Titans will face a much different beast this weekend against the Steelers. It was, if you have not seen it, go watch Deshaun Watson's reaction when the Titans win that coin toss in overtime. It was hilarious. I mean, you could hear him on the broadcast just, oh! I mean, like, he knew it was over at that point.
Yeah, he probably knew both things. He knew his defense wasn't going to stop the Titans. He also probably knew that the Titans defense wasn't going to stop him if they won the coin toss. I mean, Corey Curtis mentioned how he asked Jeffrey Simmons about the coin toss. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons was great yesterday, but again, it's like, I mean, he was even like, yeah, I hope we're not on the field. You know?
I was really glad they won that coin toss.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they know right now that they are struggling. You know, the question is, can they fix it? I don't think it's unfixable. I don't think so. I think there's guys there who have made plays and should be making more plays who can make plays. But the whole construction of – when you have the mistakes like they did yesterday, that's not good. When you blow a coverage or whatever happened on that bomb to Fuller.
I look back and we've been kind of waiting. You know, with a big talking point through the first 4 weeks was, you know, Derrick Henry, he's been okay. When's he going to pop the big one? Well, he popped a few big ones yesterday. Had an 18-yard run, I think his first carry of the game, a 34-yard run, and then, of course, the one that everybody's going to talk about, the big 94-yard run to score the touchdown, which, by the way, called shot check for Robbie Stanley.
Well done.
50-plus yards. Also had a reception for 52 yards as well. So really good day for Derrick Henry yesterday, and that looked like the Derrick Henry that we saw at the end of last season heading into the playoffs, where at times, I mean, he's just unstoppable. There's not much you can do about it from a defensive perspective.
Yeah, he looked – I understand that some games – I mean, look, you are – he talked about his offensive line a ton after the game, and it's very simple. Sometimes you have too many hats to block, and there's just nothing there, and that's happened a lot. But I do think that he looked another smidge explosive yesterday, even in some of those runs, you know, just inside tough runs. He was getting 4 and 5. He's been getting 2 and 3. So is that him just having and stepping it up, or is that they played the Texans defense? I don't know, but that's one of those days you put in the vault for Derrick Henry. It's right there with the 238 yards, the 99-yarder against Jacksonville, the playoff wins, the way he dominated those games. He's had, you know, one or two others, but that's right there. Just an unbelievable performance. And again, so good that you take out your quarterback playing at the highest level of quarterback in the NFL and just say, snap it to Derek, win the game.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, 25 million in pass rush and no sacks. Where is Clowney and Beasley? It's time for those guys to finish. I look, Clowney was close
no
a couple times yesterday. It's time for those guys to finish. I mean, I'm over the, hey, you were close. I mean, this is ridiculous. We're 5 games in. It's time to start putting some production on the board.
Yeah, and of those two guys, I mean, Clowney is, you know, he's been active longer. I do think I see him more. I notice him more. He is close. I know at some point, like, close, it's not horseshoes. Like, you got to get there. He had one TFL. Beasley, so far, I have not noticed a lot. I mean, at Minnesota, he had a couple snaps where he applied some pressure, but that's got to get better. That's absolutely right. You $25 million with 0 sacks after 5 games. It's not getting it done.
And even they talked about it on the CBS broadcast yesterday too. I mean, Clowney made the tackle in the backfield, I think, for a 2-yard loss. And they're like, that's the first time we've called Jadeveon Clowney's name all day. He's been totally invisible. And Rich Gannon said a lot of things yesterday that maybe wanted to turn the TV on mute, but he was right about that.
Rich Gannon has done a lot of things that made me put the TV off completely.
I thought about you, yes.
Raiders fan, who's also a Dodgers fan. The dream year continues, Munson.
Continues on.
California
dream
love.
Year, yes.
California love, man. You got to love it. You got to
love you?
It.
God, I feel, I mean, the Vol, I know a lot of people who are both
Vols and
Braves
fans. Oh, God.
Oh,
what a weekend.
Brutal.
At least
man.
You
but,
have the Titans.
But you also know people.
Embrace your Titans.
Who are Lakers, Dodgers, and Alabama fan.
Gosh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, my luck is going to come to an end.
Waiting on something good to happen to you.
My luck's going to come to an end soon.
Enjoy it. 2020 is good for you, liking 2020.
Well,
you know,
in sports, yeah. Not,
right,
not
right.
2020.
Yeah,
not
in general.
2020 sucks as a whole. But
speaking of it sucking, Doc Emrick retiring. That sucks.
Doc Emrick, NBC legendary voice calling NHL games, retiring today. That makes me very sad. Had I known that he was going to do this, I would have like soaked in every last second of his call on the play. I'm hoping that this is like a, hey, I'm going to retire for the regular season, but if you need me to come back every now and then, call a playoff game, I'll be here.
I wish. Best play-by-play announcer in sports in America?
In my opinion,
in North America?
Yes. I know a lot of people will say I'm crazy for that, but I agree.
I think I'm going yes there, too. I think he's the best.
Awesome. So definitely going to miss him. And that's a big loss for the world of hockey. But 74 years old. I mean, you got to retire at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
So we wish Doc Emrick all the best. When we come back, we'll continue to get your Titans reaction. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. But first, make sure you're tuning in tonight, an NFL doubleheader on ESPN 94.9 featuring the Chiefs against the Bills, followed by the Cardinals against the Cowboys. Both of those tonight, beginning at 4 p.m. on ESPN 94.9, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
It's not a situation you want to be in every week. Obviously, you like to be informed, be able to ice the game, but we found ourselves in that situation multiple times throughout the season, and there's a ton of confidence and belief in one another that we're going to march the thing down and play our game and finish with a win. And, you know, today for the fourth time, we were able to do that.
That was Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback, yesterday after the win against the Texans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, it is amazing. We were talking earlier in the show. I think a lot of times when you start around here to compare the Tannehill, everything that he's doing, to Steve McNair in the glory days here for the Titans, a lot of people are very hesitant to start going down that road. But I am of the opinion that no Titans quarterback has ever played better than Ryan Tannehill is playing right now for the Titans. And I realize it. McNair has won an MVP in this league. It was a totally different era of football. The Titans were just constructed differently. A lot of defense. Eddie George was at the top of his game. McNair was asked to do, I think, things much differently than what Tannehill is asked to do right now. McNair was great. I mean, I watched every snap McNair ever took for the Titans here in Nashville. I just think Ryan Tannehill is playing at a level right now at quarterback that we've never seen in the Titans and in this city. And it just felt like yesterday when they were down by a touchdown late in that game, I fully expected Tannehill to drive the ball down the field and to score. And now, how much of that is because of Houston's defense and how much of that is because of Ryan Tannehill? I'm sure that's a little bit of both there. But the amazing part to me was, like, A.J. Brown, he caught the touchdown pass. He wasn't on the field for like three or four of those plays. Like, he was on the field for the first play of that drive, and then he was off for like three plays after that. And they still moved the ball down the field with Anthony Firkser and Khalif Raymond and all these different guys catching passes. Just another magical performance yesterday by Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to do the McNair comparison, like you said, it's a different time in the NFL. I think if you took everything into account with McNair, you know, the toughness, the whatever, running for 12 on 3rd and 11 and somehow getting out of a sack. I mean, he was a great player.
He was unbelievable.
The efficiency is off the charts here with Tannehill. And it's basically like the Titans have kind of joined the modern NFL and haven't really been there. I mean, look, if you win, you win. And if you can run the ball and play defense and win 23-20, then that's what you're trying to do. But this team can now go in with somebody and say, okay, we'll match you touchdown for touchdown. And Tannehill's numbers, I mean, he's first in the league. I think he's 91.7% from the 10 or inside, first in the league. His quarterback rating's over 124 from the 10 and first in the league. He's, you know, the red zone. That's a tight little area. I mean, the red zone is that's a tight little space, and that's supposed to be harder there to complete passes and to get it into the end zone, and he is just surgical.
That first touchdown pass he threw yesterday to Firkser was a rocket. Oh, I mean, and I think Jared pointed this out on Twitter. He was just firing the ball yesterday. I don't know if you just paid attention to it more, but it seemed like just in those tight window throws yesterday, Tannehill was just slinging the ball in there to a level like, I'm not sure I've seen him do that before, of like how hard he was throwing the ball and fitting it in those tight spaces. If y'all haven't seen that first touchdown pass to Firkser, go back and watch it. I mean, it was a missile.
Well, and then he'll throw over the top with touch,
yeah,
too. Or, you know, the touchdown to Brown to me is a total trust your protection play. That took a long time. The first TD to Brown, you know, the fade was also great. I mean, in the moment, absolute pressure. Don't spike it. Just throw the fade to Brown. Perfect ball. But the first TD to Brown took forever for Brown to clear on the little drag. And, and Tannehill hung in there, and made the play. I mean, so Kyle Tucker, my guy at The Athletic, who has been, he is the first that I've heard even say it. And I was like, at first when he said it, I was like, yeah, really? The MVP thing. But in his piece today, kind of making the case, again, all understanding aside that it's early, but 15 games, 15 regular season starts, 69.9% of his passes, 39-66, 40 touchdowns, 7 picks. Titans are 12-3.
Not bad.
That's that kind of production. Last year's numbers don't count this year, but the point is he's been on this kind of run, and, of course, if he keeps this going, he's going to end up with an awfully impressive stat line with a team with a great bottom line.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in, last time one team had two legitimate MVP candidates on the same side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry both making their cases. 5-0 feels good.
I thought about this yesterday as I was writing about Henry and knowing Kyle's writing about Tannehill, and then I think I went and got some pretzel bites and forgot about it. But that's a great question. It's a great question. When's the last time a team had – I mean, I guess
– Brady and Moss, maybe?
Maybe.
That year, Brady and Moss, like that undefeated year, yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Was Moss really a candidate
I think
for MVP that year?
Didn't he get like 20-something receiving touchdowns, which was like the most in NFL history at that point?
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one.
I think of
Aikman, Emmitt Smith years.
Yeah.
Where those guys were, you know, the quarterback running back thing, just an overwhelming offense. I'm sure there's some we're not thinking of, but yeah.
But it's obviously
how often does that happen?
It's obviously
very, very rarely.
It's easier when it's a quarterback wide receiver tandem because it's like obviously one benefits off. Yeah. They both benefit off each other.
Except usually the QB just gets it then, right? I'm pretty sure
Brady got it that year.
He did.
So
yeah, it's just that's where it's hard for a receiver because it's like, okay, well, you're benefiting from this actual MVP and everybody, the quarterback always wins. But it is interesting to think about it. And yes, it's early, but man, what do we do? We talk about awards from week one in sports, you know?
In all sports.
As ridiculous as it may be.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, got a new nickname for Derrick Henry, Hammer and Hank. What do you think?
Hank Aaron. No, you can't give him a nickname.
That one's already taken.
What's that? Yeah, it's already taken. I do like the Hank coming off, you know, Henry, even though it's his last name. It's a little, but you know, I like the creativity there. But yeah, that's already given. By the way, someone earlier when I said we haven't seen anything by like Derrick Henry, they brought up Bo Jackson.
Yes,
and I do think that's the best comparison. I would also say one thing: Bo Jackson 6'1", 220. Derrick Henry, like. And I would still say that Derrick Henry at top speed is a little faster than Bo. But Bo definitely was that guy who was a crusher of a power guy and a home run hitter. And I can't think of anyone else. But Derrick Henry, you know, 6'3", 247 doing this stuff. It's just insane.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred in Ashland City text in, one of the underrated things that makes this offense so good is the undrafted players they have found and their skill sets.
Yes.
I know Tannehill makes them better, but they're out there winning games with some Harvard and Holy Cross players. It's crazy.
I love that point, and you're absolutely right. You know, Raymond didn't have a lot to do with yesterday's game.
By the way, dude, call a fair catch. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Made me really nervous.
He just got
drilled a few times.
Yeah, for sure. But of course, he had some really key plays against Buffalo and Firkser yesterday. Tannehill and Firkser, if you rated chemistry, Tannehill to pass catcher chemistry, you'd probably go one Firkser. Not one Firkser. I mean, he's certainly not near the top of the most talented guys out there, but they have absolute. So 9 targets, which is tops in the team, 8 catches, 113 yards.
And it was instantaneous last year they had that chemistry.
They did. You know, Raymond still has, you know, 3 for 32 yesterday. Humphreys also, and of course I know he's not the same category as those guys, but he was big yesterday, including the TD where I was like, oh, Humphreys is not running a route within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
When does that ever happen? Lo and behold, he's wide open.
Apparently it took the Texans by surprise.
But it is. I mean, this team finding guys like that is a big – it's a fun part of the story. And then Jeremy McNichols yesterday, 5 carries, 51 yards. 2 catches, 11. Like, right now, they would be giving Darrington Evans a lot of work. It's nice for them to have brought McNichols back in, and he's doing a nice job.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, says, let's fix the defense. Until then, I'm reserving the excitement. We could easily be 2-3. Going forward, I'm not confident we will need this cushion. Defense has got to get better.
It does. Now, I will say this to you, though. In the NFL every year, every single team can say, we could easily, like, I mean, here's what Lions fans say. I know we went 5-11, but we easily could have been 10-6. Look at this and this and this and this. And there are teams that go 13-3 who that easily could have gone 8-8. Take your wins, man. Take the W's. You've taken enough losses, right, that you could have won. Take the W's right now. And know that this defense should not still stink like this all year. I can't believe it will. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I can't believe
it. 5 games in now, though.
Yes. No, I agree. Adoree Jackson coming back, that's one thing. It's not a fix-all. Look, those guys who are making the money to get after the QB and to make plays up front have got to respond. But they're not hopeless to me, right? I don't think they're hopeless.
I don't think they're hopeless, but I haven't seen anything through the first 5 games that leads me to believe the pass rush is going to have some dramatic turnaround. Like, I just haven't.
Well, I know that and it's absolutely right to say Clowney getting close doesn't matter, but at least getting close tells you that, like, there's something going on there, doesn't it? I mean, at some point you have to get home. I understand that, but it's not like he's just getting blocked with one guy and not doing anything.
Right, but it's also him getting close not having a huge effect on the quarterback at this point either. Like, it's a lot of them is him getting close and the quarterback's releasing the ball and, like, his arm's coming in. Like, it's not even really he's hitting the quarterback.
Yeah, well, there were a couple plays yesterday where he got in and then Watson, you know, put him on skates.
Yes,
now, which he can do. Every quarterback in the league won't do that. Like, a couple plays yesterday, a non-Deshaun Watson or Josh Allen type of QB, he probably puts him to the ground. I understand I'm stretching here. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I'm just saying as far as hope for things to get better, I still think there is some.
When we come back, a big weekend across the SEC, including a gigantic matchup on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. We'll get into that. Also get back into the Vols as well. That's coming up. But first, make sure you're tuning in. Nashville SC takes on FC Dallas tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium at 7:30 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:15. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Are you or your kids dressing up as a Nashville Predator, Tennessee Titans, or Nashville SC player, or a sports star for Halloween? Then enter the ESPN The Game Nashville Sports Costume Contest presented by Wilson County Hyundai at thegamenashville.com for a chance to win a $100 gift card to Nashville Underground. Just submit a picture of you or your kid in the sports costume, and you are entered for a chance to win. The contest closes on Monday, November 2nd. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, fellas, there was a gigantic game in college football on Saturday night that we were all looking forward to. Now, heading into the weekend, we didn't know if Nick Saban was going to be a part of this game on Saturday night between Alabama and Georgia. He ends up testing negative, I think, 3 times and is allowed to coach the game on Saturday. Alabama with a 41-24 win against Georgia in a game where the second half, in particular, Alabama just dominated. Georgia got off to a great start, and they looked like they were playing well in the first half, but Alabama and Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, they just proved to be too much in the second half.
Yeah, and then Mechie, too. It's ridiculous. I can't, you know, Judy and Ruggs, but especially Judy, I was like, that guy, all these great receivers, Judy a little cut above, but boy, I tell you what, Jalen Waddle is something else,
pretty
man.
Good.
And that was, I was talking with David Ubbin in Knoxville Saturday before that game, and he brought up a good point. He's like, when does Alabama lose if they aren't playing some kind of offensive skill guy who's just incredible, like, you know, what Johnny Manziel was when he beat him, or obviously, you know, Clemson, Deshaun Watson. I mean, like usually it takes, like, some kind of superstar or more than one on the other side to beat them, and Georgia doesn't have that. And eventually you just saw it. And I said it earlier, Kirby Smart has to be thinking at times,
what do I have to do?
How did I go wrong and let Justin Fields go to Ohio State? Because if you put Justin Fields on that team, then you are talking about Georgia getting over the hump.
Like, you understand it at the time. I mean, Jake Fromm was playing well. Like, I mean, you had to ride with Jake Fromm, but
right,
man.
Well, he tried. You know, they tried to get Justin Fields out here and there,
like the packages. Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I know you usually don't just turn it over to a true freshman. That very rarely works. You have to, Yeah, I know it worked with Lawrence eventually. That wasn't right away either, but yeah, man. I mean, because Stetson Bennett did some good things, but you could see it's just that's not a national championship contender with him at quarterback.
It's funny how like things work out, because you look back at the Chaney and Fromm days of Georgia's offense, and now Fromm's obviously not there. He's in the NFL riding the bench on the Bills. And then you see Chaney, who basically off of Fromm and that run game that they had and all those running backs they had, he looked like a very valuable offensive coordinator.
Although Georgia fans wanted him out of there.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, he looked like a very valuable commodity as far as the offensive coordinator position is concerned. And then the Vols are the ones that snatched him up. And I thought, hey, you know, if he could do that with Jake Fromm, let's see what he can do with Garantano. And it's that has not panned out well at all.
No, Jake Fromm has never thrown pick. He may never throw a pass that means anything again. I don't think he's that good, but he didn't throw pick sixes like that.
Ugh, just brutal. Alabama with a big win. So, like, they're probably going to play again, right? I mean, it's going to be Alabama-Georgia most likely in the SEC title game.
Probably.
So does the loss at the end of the day for Georgia really mean all that much if they come back and are able to beat Alabama in the SEC title game, which I would not give them a good chance to do right now given the quarterback play? And literally, like, it's amazing. Like, even A&M for a while, they hung around with Alabama. And then, like, basically at some point, Steve Sarkisian's like, all right, we're going to run Jalen Waddle straight, and nobody's going to be able to stop him. And he just throw the ball up and let him run underneath it. And that's what they did, and the game got blown open the other night. But, like, that's what I was thinking about watching this game on Saturday night. It's like, they're going to play again. I mean, they're going to be in the SEC title.
But I will ask you guys this. Like, okay, so you have Florida's defense against this offense with Georgia, which, I mean, give or take, it's kind of hit or miss on that. And then you got that Georgia defense versus that Florida offense, who we've seen, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, they could outscore them. I agree. I think that's Florida could outscore them on a great day for Florida.
But it's got to be the defense, too, that, like, makes a couple stops. Like Alabama did. Like, Alabama's defense in the first half, they weren't. You know, they weren't the best, but
they were fine.
They played much better.
Well, they played way better than they played the week before.
I mean, Tennessee's defense got big stop after big stop on that Georgia offense, including all these quick change situations and tough spots. So I do think that that's the – it could – Florida could get them. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's more likely than not that it's Georgia-Alabama again, and I don't see – I just don't see how they win the rematch either. I just – you know, Alabama's defense is not great, but their offense is, I think, the best offense. And, well.
And Clemson did hang up 73.
Yeah. We'll wait for Alabama-Clemson. That's the game we want to see.
But that is against Georgia Tech, though.
Yes,
so
it's a little bit different.
Take it with a grain of salt. But
Trevor Lawrence is insane. It's just stupid.
He did throw an interception in that game. How dare him?
trying to avoid the Jets at all costs.
Pretty much.
Hey, Jets, did you see that? Look at that.
See that
misread on my part. He's going to put together, like, players put together highlight tapes. He's going to put together, like, his bad highlight tape, send it to the Jets.
National championship game against LSU.
Yeah.
Like, look at this, man. This is an NFL defense that I'm going up against in LSU. And look how bad I'm playing.
You don't want me.
Meanwhile, let me show you Justin Fields. He actually played pretty well against this team. So, yeah, he can try to sabotage.
Justin Fields, who should have beat Trevor Lawrence, by the way, last year. Ohio State blew that. Oh, and the refs.
What about Mac Jones? Because, like, we've talked about the quarterback position this year for Bama heading in, thinking there would be a pretty steep drop-off between Tua and Mac Jones. They put up the numbers on Saturday night on the broadcast. There hasn't been any drop-off at all. Mac Jones is playing really well.
Okay, but there's still a drop-off in player. You don't think so? Mac Jones is...
Based on what?
Well, based on watching him play. Mac Jones is good. He's A.J. McCarron. He has all day
unfair.
To throw.
I think that's ridiculous. He's a lot better than A.J. McCarron.
Oh, he's not a lot better than A.J. McCarron.
He's better.
No? What do you think, Munson? You're the tiebreaker.
All right, look, I'm going to say this. Mac Jones has blew my expectations away. I had a buddy who's an over-exaggeration Alabama fan who texts me and says, is he better than Tua? And I said, if you don't get off my phone talking this nonsense. I think if you put Mac Jones in a situation where he didn't have a guy like Jalen Waddle who is similar to Ruggs, And if he didn't have a guy like Devontae Smith, I would want to see how he would play. Because last year, when he did fill in for Tua, he didn't play too well, especially against Tennessee. He looked awful.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot better.
He's gotten better. But
he's not
like,
Tua.
A.J. McCarron, though. He's not Tua. He's not A.J. He's a little closer to A.J. I will say he's better than Greg McElroy.
What did A.J. McCarron do that makes y'all think he's better than Mac Jones?
Well, here's the thing, and this is where it is tough.
He's got 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns, 2 picks.
Yeah, no, look, I understand. He also has a fleet around him that is absolutely overwhelming. Now, I agree. However, we talked earlier about Ryan Tannehill, you know, watching him live. Like, I've never seen throwing of the football like I saw from Tua in Neyland Stadium a couple years ago.
That was unbelievable. I remember that game.
I mean, it was seriously like he had a remote control guiding the football into impossible. Now, Tua's also a chance taker. He'll throw a bad pick, so Mac Jones may be more reliable. But talent level, Mac Jones, I'll tell you right now, they put me down as a called shot for this. He's not going to get drafted anywhere near where Tua was.
No.
He's a very good player, and he's way better than last year. But it's just hard because when you have Najee Harris and that offensive line and those receivers, it is easy, man. We're talking big, big windows.
Yeah.
And all day to throw. Yes, you're right. Tua also had unbelievable talent around him. I just think that there were times that they made plays that Tua made throws that didn't make sense. And I don't see that from Mac Jones.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jerry and Franklin text in. Also, don't forget, Mac Jones was committed to Kentucky for what, like a year and a half? What could have been for the Wildcats?
They got Terry Wilson, man. He's pretty good.
Terry Wilson, he completing those slants against the Vols, who somehow never
saw it coming.
Work against not giving up inside leverage.
Jeez. Wait, we didn't mention this in the SEC, but how about what's up with Auburn, man? What's going on?
They're
with
not
Auburn?
Good.
What's wrong with Auburn?
Is this it for Gus?
This
is
could
Gus
be it for the Gus bus.
I think Gus is.
Well, just think about this for a second.
They too got, much talent, man.
They got lucky against Kentucky. That rhymed. That's good. They got really lucky against Arkansas. They absolutely could be 0-4. I realize they're not. They're 2-2. But they don't look good at all.
Yeah, think about it. There are a body in the end zone not getting called.
And a lateral
and a
spike.
Lateral and a was obvious.
And a lateral spike away from basically being 0-4 this year.
Because South Carolina's not good.
No.
That's a terrible loss.
So if you're Tennessee, I guess you're feeling better about that Auburn game later on in the season, but that depends on I guess which version of Jarrett Garantano shows up.
Yeah, you're feeling better about that, and you're feeling way worse than you were before the season started about that gimme that you were going to have at Arkansas.
You're also feeling worse, I think, about A&M at this point. We talked about after the Vandy game and after the Alabama game, maybe A&M is ripe for the picking this year. They've responded with wins over Mississippi State and Florida since then and looked pretty good offensively while doing so.
And Mike Leach, I mean, look, we're expecting a roller coaster, Mike. Like, you're going straight underground with this thing. Can we have one week here again where
pop it
you
back up, baby.
Look like you have an offense? Oh,
what happened to KJ Costello, man?
It's amazing.
He was great that first week.
This like,
and then it's just falling apart.
Like, if this
that.
Happens again, then I think Bo Pelini needs to be fired, actually before Gus.
Well, it's funny because I was trying to – like, so we were watching the first game after they beat LSU, and a buddy of mine looked at me and said, well, I thought you said KJ Costello was bad. And I'm like –
you got a lot of buddies coming after you, man.
I do, because when you work in sports, you got guys that, like, try to test your knowledge in sports, and I'm like, dude, KJ Costello sucks. And I'm telling you, he sucks. And you will see how bad KJ Costello really is. Like, yeah, it's one game against this LSU team. Well, okay, I give him credit on that. But just wait. I watched him at Stanford. I watched Pac-12 after dark. He's awful. And sure enough, KJ Costello in full form now. I remember there was like Heisman talk after that first game.
Sure.
He definitely won the September Heisman.
Yeah,
week one Heisman
early
award.
September Heisman.
Yeah,
Retro, do you have a bunch of friends just ripping you for your sports takes all the time, like Munson does?
I definitely get tested sometimes. I get tested, and I still have like Michigan State fans who will like tweet at me too, you know. And occasionally they'll even like make fun of the teams down here. It's like, oh, I bet you wish you weren't covering the Vols today, huh?
I'm like, better than covering. Better than covering. No football, right?
That's
now.
Right.
No college football.
I was like,
right.
Yeah. I had 3 Google clusters in the press box. They were great.
Which, by the way, Big Ten football coming back this week. So
yeah,
be interested to see how that goes.
Michigan State Rutgers. Big one.
If that doesn't get you fired up.
That's the marquee game.
I don't know what does. When we come back, is it time for the Vols to move on from Jarrett Garantano? We'll get back into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.